Neshama Releasing presents A Really Real Films and Neshama Entertainment Production. Title: V.C. Andrews, Gates of Paradise. An abandoned mansion sits on an overgrown lot. In a bedroom, a young woman paints a picture. Starring Jason Priestley, Lizzie Boyce, Johanna Newmarch, Jason Cermak, Pauline Egan, Michael Carl Richards, Ben Sullivan, Keenan Tracy, and Daphne Zuniga. Brambles cover a gate emblazoned with Farthingale, the same gate as the painting. The painter, Annie, touches up a stone wall surrounding a mansion. A young man sits nearby.
I need to stretch my legs. Do you mind if I take a break?
Huh? From what?
From posing. Getting a little stiff over here.
Oh, I kind of moved on from that, remember? Working on my Farthingale painting.
So I've just been sitting here looking like an idiot this whole time?
God, I said something.
He stands up.
I'm fragile, Luke.
It's 3 days before they found her mangled corpse.
Luke throws her over his shoulder and carries her to the bed. She straddles him.
Choose your method of death.
He considers.
Falling piano.
She lifts her hands up. She falls down on him. Then she sits up, smiling. Her arms rest on his shoulders. They gaze at each other and their smiles fade.
So should I come back in 15 minutes?
He stands in the doorway.
Drake!
They get up from the bed.
What are you doing here?
I wanted to say happy birthday, since I can't be here on the day.
Yeah, what'd you get me?
He spots the painting.
My God. Are you still painting pictures of this place?
Yeah, it's better than my old ones, though, eh?
I think there's other subjects, Annie. When you get to art school, they are going to want to see a wider range.
Well, I paint other things.
Oh. He spies Luke's portrait.
Are you glorious?
Hmm? Luke strikes a pose.
So what's next, reclining nude?
Luke nods.
She could even put you right here, on the front lawn.
Don't say I won't.
So are you two kids still playing Prince and Princess of Farthingale Manor? Like when you were kids making kissy faces at each other?
Aw, shut up.
I remember once, your mom had to pull you two apart. Maybe I should call Fanny over here. Tell her what old Uncle Drake just walked in on between Annie and her half-brother. You done, Drake?
Ah, there you are.
Hi, Mom.
Heaven.
Just in time for supper. Hmm. No surprise.
Well, you can't blame me for missing your country cooking, Heaven.
Yeah, smooth talker. Get going while it's still hot.
Hey, Mona Lisa, let's go.
Luke leaves with Drake. Heaven spots Annie's easel.
Annie, why are you still painting that place?
Because, Mom, a bowl of pears is boring. Why does everyone care so much what I paint anyway?
Let's leave Farthingale in the past where it belongs.
Heaven leads her away. In the painting, Farthingale's stone exterior is covered in moss. The next morning, the sun rises behind Annie's two-story heritage home.
Good morning, Annie.
Inside, Annie is asleep when Heaven enters. She sits on the edge of her bed with a gift-wrapped box.
Happy birthday. You're 18.
Hey, I can go to bars.
That's 21.
Annie glances at the box.
What is it?
Open it.
Annie lifts the lid. She looks inside and gasps.
You're giving me your cottage?
Annie lifts a miniature log cabin.
You knew I'd give it to you one day.
When you died, maybe. I mean, you never let me touch it.
Well, you can touch it all you like now. It's yours. But be careful with it. It's delicate.
Annie lifts the roof, revealing two figurines, a man and a woman with the same red hair as Heaven's.
Thank you, Mom. I know this means a lot to you.
It does. Because of you.
Why because of me?
Heaven starts to speak.
Happy birthday!
Logan!
Thanks, Dad.
Annie closes the box as Logan sits.
I got you a little something, too.
Oh.
Outside, Logan uncovers her eyes and dangles keys.
Oh, my God!
A red convertible is parked in the driveway.
If this turns out to be a prank, I will hunt you down, Dad. Mom, I love the cottage, but Dad wins.
Oh, yeah, if you like vulgar displays of affection. Thanks, Logan.
Luke exits a car.
It's like magic. You say vulgar and Fanny appears.
Fanny gets out the driver's side.
Ooh. Hey, Dad. Hey, Aunt Evan.
You got her a Benz?
It's not too late to try and top him, Aunt Fanny.
Inside, Annie removes tissue paper from a gift bag. She pulls out a gold music box.
It's really beautiful, Aunt Fanny.
Well, it ain't a car, but I picked it out special.
Wow, it's very classy, Franny.
You sound surprised, Heaven. I got class, just like all of you. You'll get a dose of it at my 40th birthday party, which is coming up presently.
Heaven and Logan share a look. Fanny sips juice and belches. Luke glances down as Heaven rises to answer the phone.
Hello?
Hello, Heaven.
Oh, Drake.
Is the birthday girl there?
Yeah, she's right here.
Annie smiles and stands. She walks over and takes the phone from Heaven.
Hi, Drake.
Happy birthday, old lady. You'll never guess where I am.
Buckingham Palace.
Close. What if I were to tell you I was at Farthingale?
Wait, Drake, are you kidding? Oh my God, Drake's at Farthingale.
What?
Yeah, he's there with Tony Tatterton.
Heaven's face blanches and she walks quickly to the phone.
Drake, are you playing games?
No. Tony, come say hi. I've got Heaven on the line.
Logan and Heaven share a look. Luke notices.
Heaven? Is it really you?
She hangs up.
Whoa. Wait, Mom, what are you doing?
No, that's enough, Annie, okay?
No, not okay.
Annie.
Wait, no, Dad, I'm an adult now, right?
It doesn't mean you know everything.
No, you're right, Mom. You're absolutely right. There's tons that I don't know. All these family secrets that you never want to tell me. Well, I'm a part of the family, too, if that's news to you.
Fanny glances at Heaven, who looks away.
Hey, Annie, why don't we take a walk? Get some air.
Mom, when you keep these things from me, I fill out the blanks on my own, okay? Just tell me the truth.
Annie.
Fanny stands.
Don't spoil your day with bad feelings.
Yeah. Hey, Luke's right. Why don't you go for a walk?
You and your mom will talk about things when the time's right.
Fanny nods, and Annie steps toward Heaven.
Will we, Mom?
Heaven looks at Annie, her lip quivering.
Yes.
She grabs Annie's hand.
You have to understand, there are some things that are hard for me to dig back up.
Annie glances down.
But we'll talk, sweetheart. Soon. Promise.
Annie gives Heaven a tight-lipped smile. Heaven smiles and nods, but sombers as Annie steps away. Annie takes Luke's arm, and they exit. Heaven exhales sharply, her eyes darting about. Outside, Annie and Luke stroll around a pond.
Swear to God, Luke, you'd think that my dad also being yours would be the biggest family secret, but everybody from here to the moon knows that one.
Why can't you just figure your mom's got your best interest at heart?
Hey, it's my birthday. Just pretend that you're on my side.
Your mother's wrong about everything. She always has been, and she always will be.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, there's actually something I want to talk to you about.
Yeah?
Got my letter from Harleston. I got in. Full scholarship.
Wow. So you're going to Boston. When do you leave?
End of the month.
Well, that's great. It's everything you've been wanting, right?
His brow furrows.
Yeah.
She looks puzzled.
You seem less than thrilled.
No, I mean, it's cool, but just not sure how badly I want to be that far away from home.
He clenches his jaw, and she smiles.
Well, I think it's great. You and Drake, Harleston men, you'll be running Wall Street, and you'll be the Surgeon General.
This hillbilly's done good.
I'm really proud of you.
Come here.
They hug and hold each other tightly. Annie rests her chin on his shoulder and blinks as her eyes moisten. Later, in Annie's bedroom, Heaven gives her a tissue.
Hey. Shh. Shh. You guys will see each other on vacations and holidays. Drake didn't disappear forever when he went off to school.
Heaven strokes her hair as Annie cries into her pillow. Then, Annie sits up.
I know, it's just, you spend all this time with all the people that you love, and then all of a sudden work or school or something just takes everybody away.
Not everyone. Your dad and I are still there.
No, but Lucas, he's more than just a half-brother to me. He's my best friend.
You didn't think you and Luke and Drake would be running around Winnero like little kids for the rest of your lives?
Well, no, but would that be so bad?
Heaven holds her.
Your dad and I are here. And we're not going anywhere. It's gonna be okay.
Heaven uses a tissue to dry Annie's tears. That night, with a house full of party guests, Fanny grabs a plastic wine glass labeled Birthday Girl. A man approaches Fanny and offers her a shot of alcohol. She tips it back and he takes a shot too. They start to dance.
I don't think I know you. You a friend of Luke's from high school?
Annie enters.
Are you a wrestler?
Heaven and Logan follow behind. Annie watches Fanny dance with a young man.
Go easy on the booze tonight, okay?
How often does Fanny turn 40?
I know, but Fanny likes you a little too much when you're a few in.
Well, there is only one Fanny that I'm interested in, and it ain't your sister.
Logan grabs Heaven's rear end. Fanny notices them and approaches, reaching out to embrace Annie.
Hi, sweetie. Thanks for coming. Go get yourself a beer.
Annie shrugs and leaves.
Hey.
Fanny gives Logan a long kiss on the lips.
Come on, Logan. Dance with the birthday girl.
Now, you know I don't dance in an empty liver, Fanny. You give me a couple, huh?
Oh, I'll give you a lot more than a couple.
Fanny watches Logan leave.
Thanks for making an appearance, Heaven. Last one here. What is it that comes after fashionably late?
Oh, I don't know, Fanny. Maybe looking for an excuse to leave early. Why are you starting with me?
I can see all over your face you don't want to be here. You can't stand my friends.
Well, I could do without you offering my daughter a beer and propositioning my husband in front of my face, but short of those details, I'm more than happy to celebrate my sister's birthday.
Fanny eyes a man.
How about that one over there? You'd be a bed full, huh?
Don't you mean a crib full?
Ugh, stay boring, Heaven. I'm gonna go tap his keg before a line forms.
Fanny takes off.
You do that.
Heaven walks away. At the bar, Logan puts an empty beer bottle down and opens a new one. Fanny is on the dance floor, grinding with a male party guest.
Hey, Mr. Moopy.
Annie. Wow, nice, everything.
So I was looking for an occasion to try out this dress.
It's one of my best tryouts in straight to competition.
So what's with the brooding loner routine?
Don't look at her, for God's sakes. No shame.
She doesn't care if she embarrasses.
You'll miss her when you leave.
I don't know. Looking forward to putting this whole town in my rear view.
Annie's face drops.
That's nice, Luke. I'll make sure not to write you.
Wait, what did I say?
Oh, no, nothing. I'll just go hang out with the rest of the yokels.
I wasn't talking about you.
Well, I'm gonna be in your rear view, too.
Listen, you dope. You're the one thing in this town I'm actually gonna miss. Hell, I'd take you with me if I could. You're crying. Come here. Look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that the way you're taking it, okay? I promise.
He takes her face in his hands.
Come here.
He embraces her.
You better write me. I'll get some Boston thugs that can break your legs.
Heaven approaches Logan at the bar and clicks her champagne glass against his beer bottle. Fanny cuts the music.
Where's my little Lukey?
She spots him and points.
There's my handsome son. So for those of you that don't already know, my sweet boy just got in to Harrelson. Gonna be on a full ride scholarship. Won't cost me a penny. So all the liquor stores in town can breathe a big sigh of relief.
Logan drinks.
Hey, you said you were gonna take it easy tonight.
Actually, you said I was gonna take it easy tonight.
Logan.
Okay, it's the last one, I promise.
Anywho, thank y'all for coming. Let's get dancing, dummies.
She drops the mic and points at Logan.
You. I'm coming for you, you punk.
Fanny approaches Logan.
Hey.
She leads him away from Heaven to the dance floor. Fanny moves her backside against Logan. Annie and Luke watch.
Jeez, what are you hoping comes from this? A little brother or a sister?
Ow.
Annie raises an eyebrow and then grimaces as she watches Logan and Fanny flirt on the dance floor. Stone-faced, Heaven puts down her champagne glass. She walks toward Logan and Fanny and glares as she passes them. She approaches Annie and Luke.
I think it's time to go.
But Mom...
Heaven pulls her away.
Bye, Luke.
See
you. No.
Logan heads for the door and Fanny frowns. She looks around and finds a new group of guys.
Hey.
She starts dancing with them as Logan waves goodbye to Luke. Then, on a dark highway, an approaching car passes Annie's parents' car. Logan is driving.
You can't be mad at me, can you?
I told you this would happen.
Right, but you can't be mad at me, can you?
Slow down, please. You're drunk.
He shakes his head and she clenches her jaw.
She pulled me out there. Everyone was looking. What was I supposed to do? Yank my arm away and humiliate her in front of everyone?
She never has any problem humiliating us in front of anyone.
Mom, just let it go. It's Fanny.
Logan, please slow down.
They swerve in front of an oncoming car. Their faces are whited out by headlights. The whiteness morphs to color. Annie lies very still with her eyes closed. A man's hand strokes her hair.
You're gonna be all right. Everything is gonna be all right. Annie. Can you hear me?
He strokes her hand.
Annie? Annie. Oh, thank goodness.
She opens her eyes.
Welcome back, beautiful.
A man with a white beard looks back at her.
Who are you?
Hey there. Hey.
Drake sits on her bed.
How you feeling?
Her vision blurs and she winces.
My head hurts.
You had an accident. But you're gonna be all right. You're in the hospital.
What's going on? What happened?
You've been in a coma for a few weeks.
He glances downward. Then she lifts her head.
What?
She sits up and he avoids her gaze.
Drake, I can't feel my legs.
You suffered a spinal injury, and there's a great deal of disc herniation and swelling.
But there's no reason to believe that you won't make a full recovery.
I don't know who you are.
Annie, this is Mr. Tony Tatterton. He's your great-grandfather. A step-great-grandfather.
A nurse stands nearby.
I'm gonna take care of everything, Annie. No matter what the expense, I'll cover it. You will walk again.
Tears fill Annie's eyes. Flowers and cards cover her nightstand.
Where's my mom and dad?
Tony averts his eyes. An IV bag hangs on a pole.
Drake, where are my parents?
The nurse gazes downward.
Annie.
Drake shakes his head.
You don't know how lucky you are to have survived. The accident, it was...
Annie's lip trembles.
It was instantaneous. There's no way they could have felt any...
Annie shakes her head.
God, we all thought we were going to lose you, too.
So my family's gone.
Now that's not true, Annie. You've got your uncle, Drake, your brother, Luke, Fanny. And you've got me. I'm your family, too. You won't be alone through any of this.
Tony's gotten you the best doctors. Your own private nurse.
You won't want for anything.
Please, leave me alone.
Her face contorts as she cries.
Okay.
Drake and the nurse nod their heads and turn to go. Annie leans back on her pillow and her eyes widen. Tony steps away from her bed.
No.
Her body shakes as she sobs in the empty hospital room.
No!
A doctor stands at the end of Annie's bed and runs a pointed instrument along the sole of her bare foot. Then he taps her shin.
Anything?
She shakes her head.
Not to worry. It's still very early in your recovery.
He picks up his clipboard and jots a note.
I'm never going to walk again, am I?
I think you will. The prognosis is very promising, Annie, but you have to keep a positive attitude. Remembering, you're suffering from an emotional trauma just as devastating as your physical one. And given what I see on your x-rays, there's every reason to believe that you'll make a full recovery.
Annie turns toward the opening door. Fanny rushes in, followed by Luke.
Are you family?
Yeah.
Yes, we're family.
Please remember not to get her too excited. She's still very fragile.
All right. Leave us be, please.
The doctor goes.
Hey, you looking good?
Look, where have you been? Why haven't you come to see me?
What do you mean, Annie? I've been here every day for the last few weeks since you went into a coma.
It's true. He never left your side, not once.
Here. Got your favorite drink?
Thanks.
Luke hands her a bottle of strawberry milk.
Did you?
Yeah.
Fanny puts the bottle on a table.
Look, they want us to give you some space because they want to avoid any upsetting stimuli.
Upsetting? How would me seeing you be upsetting?
This is all my fault. I acted like such a fool that night.
I'm not blaming you, Fanny.
It just kills me. I was always so rotten to heaven. When we were growing up, I was always the one that got all of Daddy's love. But I loved her in my own way, Annie. You have to believe that.
Hey, Mom. Maybe not right now.
Fanny nods and wipes away her tears.
You're right. I'm sorry. What's important is getting you better. We'll get you out of here as soon as they let us. We'll get you back home.
Fanny strokes Annie's hair. Annie lowers her gaze and blinks.
Hey, what is it?
I hadn't thought about that. Going back home, knowing that my mom and dad are never going to walk through the front door again.
Fanny's lip trembles.
Well, we'll take you back to our house. And we'll fix you a nice room, and we'll get you anything you need.
Fanny nods through her tears.
You're not even going to be there.
Annie, I'll be here for another week and a half before I go to school.
And I ain't going anywhere. I'm going to take care of you just as good as heaven would have.
Fanny smiles, but Annie's glossy eyes stare back at her, emotionless. Later, Annie holds a photo of a younger Heaven outside the Farthingale gates.
She's not much older in this picture than I am now.
And here is a photograph of your mother riding scuttles. We had dozens of horses back then, but those two just loved each other.
Annie is in a wheelchair.
Tony, how many pictures do you have from back then? Because I'm going to want to see all of them.
Oh, I've got dozens and dozens. They're all up at Farthingale, but I like to keep these ones close to me.
Tony takes the photos from her.
You've been incredible, Tony. I mean, I don't know how I'm ever going to be able to thank you. All this stuff that you're doing for me when I'm practically a stranger.
No, you're not a stranger, Annie. I've always known about you. It's a tragedy that our family was ripped apart all those years ago, but it's not too late to put things right.
I never understood what happened. I mean, my mom never really talked about it, her days at Farthingale. I always wondered if you were some kind of ogre or something. But now I just can't understand why she put all this distance between all of us.
Tony sits on the edge of the bed.
Heaven and I, we had a falling out. But I never stopped loving her.
Tony nods and Annie studies his face. Then she breaks her gaze, looks down, and takes a breath.
Do you know where they're buried? My parents?
I had Heaven and your father buried up at Farthingale.
You're kidding.
They had plots in the family cemetery, right on the grounds. I do take some comfort in the fact that they are both at home.
Tony nods as Drake enters carrying flowers.
Look at you, Dapperdin.
Oh.
He wears a suit.
You are looking at the new regional manager of factory operations, Tatterton Toys, Birmingham Division. Oh, I'd give you a card, but they're still being printed.
You hired this lunkhead?
Yeah, Drake's third in his class at business school. He's graduating this year. I figured I'd better scoop him up before 50 other people had the chance.
Well, congratulations, Drake. You might end up respectable yet.
He shakes his head.
Actually, I have an offer to make to you as well.
I don't really look good in pinstripes.
I was hoping you might consider coming to Farthingale, recuperating there. You'll have your own comfortable room. Nurse Broadfield will take care of your every need. I have a private cook, and Dr. Malisoff will be on call.
You need a lot of peace and quiet, like the doctor says. And frankly, I think getting out of this town would be good for you. You could get away from these bad memories for a while.
I don't really know what to say.
Just think on it.
He nods and she considers.
Well, I will need to go there at some point. I will need to see where my parents are buried.
Drake would be close.
Oh, yeah, and that's right. Luke will be at Harrelson, too.
Only 20 minutes away.
Just think about it. It would do my heart good to make up for all the lost years.
Annie withdraws her gaze, blinks, and purses her lips. Later in the hospital room, Annie's private nurse rubs lotion on Annie's legs. Then she bends Annie's knee twice. She straightens Annie's leg, then lifts the other leg and bends it at the knee also.
Are we done yet?
Yes. We'll do it once more before your bedtime.
Nurse Broadfield arranges Annie's blankets. Annie picks up the receiver on the phone at her bedside and listens.
The phone's not working.
Dr. Malisoff had them shut it off.
Why did he do that?
Because your blood pressure was too high after your last visitors, and he thinks it's best if you refrain from social activity for a while.
Well, what's social activity? I need to make a phone call. I want to tell Luke that I'm going up to Farthingale.
So are you going to argue or accept that the doctor knows what's best? I assume you want to be up and walking as soon as possible.
Yes.
Well, this is what the doctor prescribed. So unless you think you know better and want to just roll the dice with your recovery, I can just let the doctor know that you think his medical degree and experience are worthless. Shall I go ahead and do that right now?
I need to get a message to my brother. Would that be possible?
Nurse Broadfield forces a smile.
Of course.
The nurse pats Annie's hand and turns to leave. Annie heaves a sigh as she watches her go. Annie gazes at the ceiling. The next morning, Annie sleeps in her hospital bed. Tony draws her blinds.
Wake up. You've been paroled.
She opens her eyes.
What?
You're being discharged.
Today?
As soon as you're up and ready.
He holds a box.
Well, I'm up and I'm ready.
I brought you a get-well gift. It was your mother's. I had it sent overnight.
He lifts a wine-colored garment from the box.
Was this really my mother's?
I bought it for her as a special present when she first went away to boarding school. Thought it might be nice if you wore it for the trip.
Well, I don't know if this is really up to the minute, fashion-wise, Tony.
He considers.
Well, you don't have to, of course. I just thought...
No. If it'll make you happy, it'll make me happy.
She smiles at him.
Yes.
She nods.
Yes, it would.
He watches her as he puts down the garment. Then he leans over, touches her cheek, and kisses her other cheek very close to her mouth. He lingers a moment before he stands. Her eyes widen.
I'll have Miss Broadfield come in and help you put it on.
He backs out of the room, and Annie watches him go. After he leaves, she brings her hand to the place where he kissed. Later that day, Tony sits in the back of a moving limousine. He faces Annie and Nurse Broadfield.
My God, you do remind me of my heaven.
He shakes his head. Annie smiles tightly, then looks away. Tony shifts his gaze to Nurse Broadfield and nods. She quickly plunges a syringe into Annie's thigh.
Whoa, what are you doing?
She finishes the injection.
You need your rest, and we have a long ride ahead of us.
Now, just hold on a minute.
Annie glances at Tony, but his image becomes blurry. Annie blinks a few times as her head droops. Her eyes close and her head falls back. Tony watches her with a furrowed brow.
Annie? Annie, wake up. We've arrived at Fotheringale.
The black stretched limousine rounds a corner. Inside the vehicle, Annie opens her eyes. Farthingale's black wrought iron gates open and the limousine pulls onto a driveway. Annie rolls down the tinted window and peers out at the grounds.
It's magnificent, isn't it? I never grow weary of looking at it.
Concern fills Annie's eyes.
When you're feeling better, I'll show you the stables and the gardens. We even have a private beach.
Annie looks out the window, unsure. A gargoyle sits on the lawn as the limo pulls up to the covered entryway to the house. Then Nurse Broadfield opens Farthingale's front door.
Tell me, what do you think?
Tony carries Annie.
It's great. I mean...
Yes.
A dark wood interior.
Take that inside. I've got her.
The chauffeur butler brings the wheelchair into the foyer.
You'll have to forgive me. My mind has been too much on my business and not on practical things. And we men tend not to notice dust and clutter when we live alone.
Tony lowers her into the chair. Toys sit on dusty surfaces.
Well, I don't suppose a feather duster would hurt things any.
No, I don't suppose it would. And I'll get right on it. You'll see, this house will look just like it did when your mother lived here. That's a promise.
Who's the boy?
In a photo.
Oh, that is my brother, Troy.
Troy plays piano.
Well, you have a brother?
Yes. He died some time ago.
I'm sorry.
Tony observes the photo with a pained look.
Let's get you upstairs.
The driver helps Tony.
Careful with her now. Here we go.
Then upstairs.
I've got you all set up in my favorite room in the house. In fact, it used to be your mother's room and your grandmother's before that.
They approach a door.
Here we go.
A deadbolt is attached to the outside of the door. Tony wheels Annie in, and she smiles at Nurse Broadfield and a maid.
Oh, perfect timing, ma'am. I've just finished with your room.
Annie, this is, it was Millie, wasn't it? She will be your private maid.
You just call for me day or night, ma'am, and I can take care of whatever you like.
That's, well, thank you, but I really don't want you to make too much of a fuss over me.
Oh, it really isn't a bother, ma'am.
And please, just call me Annie.
Millie looks to Tony, who nods.
Well, okay, ma'am. Annie.
Annie smiles.
You can leave us now. Thank you.
Millie goes.
All right. Right this way. Okay. Do you want to put your arms around my neck?
He lifts her into bed. Nurse Broadfield fluffs her pillows and helps her lie back. Here. Tony removes her shoes and puts them down next to a side table adorned with dolls.
I'm sorry, Tony, but, there's no phone?
Ah, yes. Well, Dr. Malasoff instructed us to remove the telephone, at least for now.
But, I mean, I'm kind of going to need a phone.
Annie, please, trust me. Let me help you heal. Don't you believe that I've gotten you the best doctors money can buy?
Yes, yeah, of course.
And we'll get any message you want to anyone you say.
The nurse prepares an injection.
And, I'm sorry to ask this on top of everything else, Tony, but, do you think I could get some art supplies? I mean, I wouldn't ask.
Immediately. We'll get you anything you want, except a phone. Doctor's orders. For now.
Annie bites her lip.
We should probably let her rest, Nurse Broadfield.
The nurse smiles and nods. Tony nods at her and steps out. Nurse Broadfield punctures Annie's leg with the needle.
Whoa. Could you please ask before you do that?
With needles, I find it is best to be done with it.
Annie lies back and Nurse Broadfield covers her with a duvet. Then she tucks her in. Annie's eyes flutter, then close as the nurse walks to the door. She pulls the door closed behind her. A moss-covered gargoyle grins on Farthingale's grounds. Upstairs, Annie sits up in bed as Nurse Broadfield lifts her nightgown and scrubs her back.
Could you not be so rough?
Annie winces.
This is a bed sores. Take your pick.
Annie's back is covered with red marks.
So, do you have any kids, Mrs. Broadfield?
It's Miss Broadfield, thank you.
You don't have a husband?
No, I do not.
Boyfriends?
No. It's any of your business, which it isn't.
Sorry, I don't mean to pry. I'm just trying to make a chit-chat.
Nurse Broadfield heaves a sigh.
Well, I don't have time for men. And they haven't had any interest in me. Which suits me just fine.
There's a shocker.
The nurse dips the sponge in water and resumes scrubbing.
Will you stop moving, please?
The nurse flops her nightgown down. That night, fog mingles with the tombstones as moonlight streams into the graveyard. In the house, a doll sits on a table. Firelight plays on Annie's sleeping face. Flames flicker in the hearth. Annie wakes and glances at the fireplace. She wheels herself to the window and looks out at the graveyard below. A figure sits among the tombstones, then ducks out of sight. Annie straightens. The next morning.
Gin, twos and jacks.
Didn't take you for a hustler, Annie.
Yeah, that was your downfall, Millie. Go again?
I can't. If I don't get to your laundry today, I might end up in that graveyard out there.
Millie notices Annie's somber face and realizes.
Oh, God. I didn't mean to...
No, it's okay. Actually, I've been wanting to ask you something. Have you seen a strange man around here? Because I swear that I saw somebody out by the graveyard the other day. He just, like, appeared and then was gone.
Well, that's creepy. Out by the graves?
Maybe there's ghosts here, huh?
Yeah, well, that wouldn't surprise me one bit if you want to know the truth. If I were a ghost, I'd feel completely at home in this house.
Right?
Excuse me, ladies. Why, I'm Rye Whiskey, and, well, I'm the cook.
It's nice to meet you, Rye Whiskey. Have you met the maid, Scotch on the Rocks?
Oh, don't think you're too clever now. I pretty much heard them all. Mrs. Tatterton mispronounced my name years ago after she got all sick in the head, and it just stuck.
Sorry, I'm just kidding around. I'm Annie Stonewall.
Oh, yes, I know. I brought you some lunch. I just had to come up here and see if it was true. Everyone is saying Miss Heaven's come back to Fothergill. Now, I don't know about that, but Lord, if you don't remind me so much of her.
You knew my mother?
Oh, yes, I did. I pretty much come to know everyone who ever come up here in the last 40 years or so. Been in this house a long time. Seen everything.
Really? Because Annie thought she saw a ghost the other night wandering outside. You ever seen one of those?
A lot more than one. Miss Scotch in the Rocks. A lot more than one. You know.
What are you doing in here? The two of you! Why are you disturbing this girl?
They're not disturbing me. We're just talking.
Get out!
It was a pleasure to meet you, miss.
He leaves.
Millie.
Millie goes to her.
Could you mail this for me?
A letter.
Who's this Luke? He your special guy? Wink, wink.
He's my brother. Never mind.
Mr. Tatterton would like a word with you.
Right now?
He's in his office.
Broadfield grabs Millie and leads her out. She approaches with a pill bottle.
This will calm you down.
I am calm, Nurse Broadfield.
The nurse tosses the playing cards.
I'm calm too, but I can only be tested so much. Now it will be the pill, or it will be the needle. But it's one or the other.
Broadfield squeezes Annie's cheeks. Annie takes the pill and puts it in her mouth. Broadfield takes a water pitcher and pours Annie a glass of water. The nurse watches as Annie swallows, then snatches the glass and puts it back. Broadfield straightens her uniform and glares at Annie, then turns to go. Annie sits, propped up in bed with a pillow, and watches the nurse go. Annie lifts the lid on her dinner, revealing chicken and peas.
Ugh, again?
She winces and raises her eyebrows as she reaches for her fork. That night, Farthingale sits in darkness. Annie's chest rises and falls as she sleeps. She wakens and turns to see a man's figure standing at her bedroom window.
Oh my God, Tony, you scared me.
I was just thinking of you, Heaven. I would love so much to see you back out riding on the grounds on Scuttles.
What?
You always look beautiful on that horse. Like you are one being.
Tony, you okay?
Annie switches on the light, and Tony looks around the room in confusion.
I'm sorry. Is my head in the clouds again?
Annie eyes him.
I used to watch your mother, Heaven, riding Scuttles for hours.
He steps closer to her.
When she left, my younger brother, Troy, he cared for Scuttles for a while. One day, he got on Scuttles and just rode out into the ocean.
Tony stares off.
And that was the last of Troy.
Oh my God, he killed himself?
Who told you that? Who?
I mean, didn't you just now?
Those are lies. Lies and vicious rumors. Troy would never do anything like that. No, that whole situation was just an unfortunate accident.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to assume.
Tony backs away and blinks with a confused look on his face.
No, I'm...
He turns away from her.
I'm sorry.
She watches him with concern.
Sometimes I get lost in a memory.
He looks over his shoulder.
I didn't mean to wake you. You should go back to sleep.
He kisses her cheek a bit longer than last time. She recoils and stares at him as he walks toward the door.
Oh, I got you those art supplies you wanted.
Thank you.
He watches her.
Good night, Heaven.
Tony turns, and a puzzled Annie trains her eyes on him until he leaves through her open bedroom door. Lanterns light Farthingale's grounds at night. Annie wheels over to the bedroom window and spies a dark figure walking in the graveyard. She squints, but the figure is nowhere to be seen. Her brow furrows as she stares out through the casement window. A moss-covered statue stands in Farthingale's garden. Inside, Annie writes on a pad. Her message reads, "Rye, please come see me. I need to ask you about Tony." She folds the letter and places it under her breakfast plate. She looks to the door and her eyes widen. She quickly hides the notepad under her blankets and waits. Later, Annie paints at her easel while Nurse Broadfield pricks her legs with a pointed instrument.
Ow! I felt that.
No, I don't think so.
No, I'm telling you, I felt that. It hurt.
No, it's nonsense. It's too early. You wouldn't feel anything this stage in your recovery.
I'm not nuts, Nurse Broadfield. I think I'd know.
What you felt is something called phantom pain, okay? It's in your mind.
No, it was in my leg.
You've heard of those people who've lost their arms and they just have stumps? Yet they insist they can feel their hands. It's the same thing.
So you're telling me that you're not hurting me right now when you are?
Broadfield narrows her eyes.
Something along those lines.
She reaches down for Annie's slippers and puts them on.
Where's Millie? I haven't seen her all day.
She slams Annie's foot down.
Millie has been let go.
What?
Yep. The girl was incompetent. And frankly, a little stupid if you ask me.
Well, how come she didn't come to say goodbye?
Don't know. Not a mind reader. I do, however, have a sixth sense when it comes to sneaky people.
She drops a folded paper in Annie's lap. Annie opens it to find her letter to Rye.
Is it part of your job to spy on me?
It's my whole job to help you heal. Now let's get you back into bed.
No, I don't want to go back into bed.
Well, I think you should get back to bed.
I don't care what you think, Nurse Broadfield. I'm sick of being cooped up here. Plus, it was my great-grandfather who hired you, wasn't it? So that makes me the boss and not you, doesn't it?
Broadfield throws up her hands.
Suit yourself.
Tony! Come in, hurry! Tony!
What is it?
I need to speak with you privately.
Broadfield stands behind Annie's chair and shoots Tony a knowing look before she steps out of the room.
Help.
Tony spins her wheelchair around.
What is it?
I want another nurse.
Certainly. I'll get you all the nurses you need.
No, I want a different nurse. Broadfield is horrible. She's a tyrant.
Well, yes, she can be a tad gruff, but I assure you, she really is the best there is.
No, Tony, please. I can't stand her.
Annie, I thought you trusted me.
Tony,
I'll speak with her. Tell her to be a bit nicer, okay?
And Tony, I want out of this room.
Tony frowns. Then he pushes Annie's wheelchair through the stables.
I think it's time you tell me why my mother left Farthingale and never came back.
Annie wears a blue dressing gown. Tony turns to face her.
Heaven left this place because of me.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Your grandmother, Lee, she took up with that mountain fool, Luke Castile, for reasons I'll never understand. Heaven should have been born right here, not in some mud hole down south. When she finally came to Farthingale, she was happy here. You could see it in her face.
Yeah, Tony, why'd she leave?
Tony levels his gaze at Annie.
I contacted Luke Castile, and he was exactly the kind of man I'd always expected he'd be. I paid him to stay out of Heaven's life. She may have had some lingering love for him.
But you bought him off.
I did. And when Heaven found out, she left. She told me she'd never forgive me.
He heaves a sigh and shakes his head.
She never did.
Annie watches with pursed lips.
It was like Lee had left me all over again, and I just couldn't bear it.
He squints.
All the light went out of this place when I lost Heaven.
Annie studies Tony as his light blue eyes glance around the space.
I want to show you something.
Tony walks over and stands behind Annie. He pushes her forward. Inside the house, Tony enters a dimly lit room, leaving Annie in the hallway. She spies Tony making hand gestures over a wood box. Then she spots a telephone on a side table. She bites her lip. Tony lifts the box and blows dust off it. He brings it to Annie and plops it on her lap, then wheels her backward. In a bright room, Annie opens the box.
All that belonged to your mother.
Annie looks inside and sees jewelry, a handkerchief, and...
That's her hairbrush.
Annie lifts it.
Part of her is still in it, you see?
Red hair is stuck in the bristles. Annie closes her eyes and cries.
I know.
Tony rests his hand on Annie's. A tear runs down her cheek.
I just can't believe that she's gone, you know?
Annie strokes the brush.
Yeah. I understand.
She looks up at him with glossy eyes.
Tony.
She wipes tears.
I don't get it. You and my mother always had such a big rift between you. Why would you hold on to all of these things?
It was she who wanted nothing to do with me. It was very different on my end. I never lost hope that she'd come back.
He nods and takes the hairbrush.
You see, by keeping a few of her things as they were, I've kept her as she was to me. I cheated fate.
Annie's tear-soaked cheeks lift as she smiles slightly. Then she blinks, and another tear falls. By firelight, Nurse Broadfield massages Annie's bare back as she lies face down in bed. Annie spots a reflection in the metal water pitcher.
Well, Tony, what are you doing?
Oh, sorry, I just wanted to tell you I've made all the arrangements for your parents' service. We'll be holding it tomorrow, at noon.
Thanks. Bye.
Annie covers up with a sheet.
Yes.
Nurse Broadfield waits until Tony leaves the room before resuming.
Guess it's a good idea to keep that door closed, huh?
Nurse Broadfield stops massaging. She straightens her bed sheets and covers. Then she gets up from the bed and storms out. Annie looks puzzled. The next day at the graveyard.
In my father's house, there are many dwelling places.
Tony reads.
If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be.
He closes the book and looks up to see Annie, eyes fixed on her parents' gravestones. Drake sits in the row of folding chairs behind her. Others present rise to go. Nurse Broadfield, the chauffeur butler, and Rye.
They were fine people, Miss Stonewall. We were all richer for having known them.
She holds a bouquet.
Thank you, Rye. Listen, will you come by later? I've been wanting to talk to you.
Well, the boss says you need rest, miss. And I do as the boss tells me.
She gazes downward.
But I'll sure try.
Rye steps away, and Annie smiles weakly. Then Drake approaches her, while Tony and Nurse Broadfield look on.
How are you holding up?
Drake, what's going on? Where's Luke? It's his father buried there, too. He wouldn't miss this.
Drake exhales sharply and shakes his head.
What? What is it?
He purses his lips.
Listen, Luke met somebody. A girl.
Yeah? So?
It's just... Luke has been so absorbed by this new girl. He doesn't seem to have time for much else.
No, that's not Luke. What's going on?
Hey, don't blame the messenger, Annie. Her name's Jessica. She's got him hypnotized.
I've written him a bunch of letters. Hasn't he received any of them?
I don't know. Why wouldn't he?
Annie holds her gaze on Drake.
Something's not right. I need to call Luke.
Look, as soon as he gets back, I'll pin him down. I promise.
Annie clenches her jaw as Drake leaves. He places a hand on her shoulder as he walks past her. She wheels toward the gravestones as Drake walks off, nodding at Tony as he passes.
Yeah.
The stone reads, "Beloved wife and mother, Heaven Lee Stonewall." Annie lays her bouquet down. When she looks up, she sees a man hiding behind a tree, watching her.
Hey!
The man steps out of view and Broadfield rushes over to Annie.
Time to go. I don't want any backsliding.
Broadfield wheels her quickly away past a statue covered in moss. Later, inside the house, Annie is alone as she wheels down the hallway and toward the room where Tony retrieved Heaven's wooden box. Annie approaches the door. She reaches up, unlatches the lock, and pushes the door open. She struggles to make it over the threshold, then wheels into the room. She passes a cracked mirror on the wall and stops to look at her reflection. She continues toward the covered window. She parts the curtains, moves to the bedside table, and reaches for an antique phone. She holds the receiver to her ear. She examines the phone's wire until she reaches the end of it, which has been cut. She slams the receiver down. Then she opens a drawer and pulls out a book. She looks over her shoulder.
What are you doing in here?
I was just
what?
Nurse Broadfield wheels her into her room, where she smashes her into the bedpost.
I am not losing this job because a cripple girl violates the rule!
Broadfield storms out. Annie scowls. She spins around, approaches the door, and tries the knob.
Nurse Broadfield? Nurse Broadfield! Open the door! Open this door! Let me out!
Luke leans against his car with a paper bag in hand as Farthingale's gates open.
Hello. Luke, is it? I'm Nurse Broadfield. Annie never stops talking about you.
She's been on my mind, too.
Yes, she knows that.
Nurse Broadfield smiles at him.
Look, I don't want to get her too worked up, like the doctor said, but I was hoping to come up and bring her a few things. Just some books, snacks, stuff I know she likes.
What a sweetheart you are. I'll get this to her right away.
Well, I was actually hoping to say hi. I'll be in and out, 5 minutes.
Did you know that she took her first steps already?
You're kidding. That's great.
And the doctor says she's at a very crucial point, and we don't want her progress to backtrack.
No, of course not.
She'll be up and walking any day now, and just so you understand, the less that she thinks about home, the less the trauma of her loss will come back.
Luke bites his lip. Broadfield cocks her head as he considers.
All right.
He shakes his head.
You do me a favor and take this for me?
Absolutely. Okay. And she'll be thrilled to hear that you stopped by, and I'm sure she'll appreciate knowing that she hasn't been forgotten, Luke.
Luke's brow furrows.
No need to worry.
Broadfield nods and smiles, then starts off.
Hey, one more thing.
She turns back and he studies her.
You're taking good care of her for me.
She grins at him.
I will.
She winks at him and strides down the driveway. Luke backs away as the gates slowly begin to close. He walks toward his car and gets in as they clang together. That night in her bedroom, firelight flickers against Annie's feet. She glances at the wheelchair beside her bed, then studies her bare legs. Annie looks to see Nurse Broadfield enter with dinner.
Is Tony back?
Broadfield glares at her.
Nope.
She plunks a tray on her lap. It's chicken and peas.
I'm not eating this.
Then I guess you'll go hungry.
Tell Rye I'd like something more appetizing.
Anything too rich will upset your stomach.
This isn't prison. I'm sick of prison food. Now go down and tell Rye to make me something decent.
I'm the nurse. I've decided that this is what's good for you, so this is what you will eat.
You know, Nurse Broadfield, when I get hungry, I get talkative for some reason. Anything can come out when I start blabbing. I could even let it slip that you were taking a little siesta when I paid a visit to the room with broken mirrors. I'd really hate to accidentally mention that, because I was hungry.
Nurse Broadfield purses her lips as Annie glares at her. The next morning, remnants of a different meal sit on a plate. Nearby, Annie sketches a pig with a woman's face, and the title, Nurse Broadfield, is written above it. Annie winces, then grips her belly.
Oh, boy. Nurse Broadfield! Nurse Broadfield! I need you!
In the hallway, the nurse struts and smiles.
Oh, my stomach! My stomach! No! Nurse Broadfield! Please come quickly, I need you!
Later, Annie sits in the bathtub.
My God, you're boiling me alive!
Well, you were a mess, weren't you?
You put something in my food.
You're recovering from a trauma, and I told you what would happen. Don't blame me that it did.
You just wouldn't follow orders.
Don't think that you're fooling me. And Tony's gonna be home any minute.
Nurse Broadfield wrings out her cloth.
Well, if that's a threat, young lady, you should know that I'm completely secure in Mr. Tatterton's confidence in me. And you're not the only one with tales to tattle about your trip through his sealed rooms. Imagine what he might think of you poking through his private business.
Makes for an interesting conundrum, doesn't it?
Annie winces as Broadfield scrubs her back. The next morning, Annie wheels over to her window and watches Broadfield carrying suitcases toward a waiting limousine. The nurse spots Annie.
Got me fired? Joke's on you.
Annie frowns.
You're on your own now, girlie. See how much you like that.
Broadfield waves and gets in. Annie blinks and turns toward her door.
I'll never forgive myself. I should have listened to you before. She came so highly recommended.
Tony, it's all right. She's gone.
I could never hurt you, Heaven. You do believe me, don't you?
He crouches by her.
Tony, I'm Annie.
Oh, I've missed you so much. I never thought you'd come back to me.
Okay, Tony, stand up. You're confused.
He rises to his feet.
Annie. Yes. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll make up for it. All of her abuses. Just tell me how.
I need to use a phone. I need to call Luke.
He turns away.
I'm afraid I can't do that. Dr. Malasov says you should be out of that wheelchair by now. You're obviously much too distraught.
No, I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. I can't see any good reason why I can't make a simple phone call.
Well, I'll call Luke. I'll call him for you right now.
No, Tony, I'll call him myself.
Why are you always resisting me? You act like I want to hurt you. Don't you think I could have if I wanted to?
Her lip trembles as he eyes her sternly.
I never suggested that you wanted to hurt me.
I will call him. I'll call him for you now. Just tell me what you want me to say to him.
She purses her lips.
Just tell him that he needs to come see me right away.
Tony straightens up and keeps his eye on her. Annie watches him pace away and then turn back.
Maybe later I'll sit for you. Would you like that?
Yeah, that'll be fine, Tony. Sure.
She gives him a half smile. He shifts his weight and walks out of her room. Her brow furrows and her eyes dart back and forth. That night, Annie sits at her easel. She adds paint to her brush and touches up a picture of Farthingale. When suddenly, she strokes wildly and throws down her brush. She spins her chair around and grabs her left ankle. She lifts her foot out of the wheelchair's stirrup and removes her slipper. She tosses it aside. She studies her toes. They wiggle just slightly. She smiles. She lifts her other leg out of the stirrup and slides the slipper from her foot. Those toes move also. She looks over her shoulder, frees the chair's brake, and wheels herself back toward the bed. She locks the chair and pushes on the armrests. She places one hand on the bedpost for support and grimaces as she lifts herself up. A smile plays upon her lips as she is upright for a moment, but then she plops back down into her chair. Later that night, Annie sits in her chair at the top of the staircase. She puts a hand on the banister and struggles to lift herself up. Once standing, she leans on the chair, but it topples down the staircase and Annie falls to the ground at the top of the stairs.
Heaven? Heaven, is that you?
She heaves a sigh.
Tony, stop!
No, you've got to soak.
There what are you doing?
Swelling from your fall.
He places her in the bathtub.
What? Oh, what am I thinking? Let me get that for you.
Her nightgown.
Tony, get out! Are you insane?
Yes.
He steps away as she turns off the tap. He stops in the doorway.
You know, this is a good home for you. It's always been your home. I know you never meant to leave me.
He spins around to look at her.
Just call when you want to get out, darling.
Annie hunches her shoulders and watches the doorway with a furrowed brow. Later, she sits at her bedroom window.
Knock, knock.
Drake!
Hey, I just wanted to swing by and show you my new hot-off-the-presses business card.
Oh, thank God it's you. Listen, you gotta get me out of here.
Hey, what's going on?
Tony's not right in the head. You gotta get me out of here right now.
Hey, hey, slow down. Take you where? Look, there's nothing wrong with Tony. You're getting a little, I don't know, stir-crazy. That's all.
Why aren't you believing me?
Because you don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry that this place hasn't lived up to your expectations of unicorns and rainbows.
Drake, he's crazy.
No, no, that is ridiculous. I have been working with him every day, and he is treating me like I am his own son. So why are you trying to blow this?
Oh, my God, he bought you.
Yeah, don't get so sanctimonious.
You never called Luke, did you? You said something to Luke so that he wouldn't come here. What did you say?
Drake kneels down and faces her.
All right, Annie, listen to me. Your brother, Luke, he's found himself another girl.
Annie frowns and slaps his face. He touches his cheek and looks up at her. She stares at him with a furrowed brow and a set jaw.
Okay.
He gets up to leave.
You know, they say if you sell your soul for the whole world, it's a bad deal. But for regional manager Drake?
Drake turns to glance at her over his shoulder. Then he nods and strides away. As Annie watches him go, her chin quivers. Later, Annie squeezes a tube of red paint into the toilet. When the tube is empty, she screws the cap back on and reaches for a wooden handle attached to the toilet tank by a chain. She opens an armoire, revealing shelves of folded linens and towels. She pulls a stack onto her lap and closes the doors. She ties a knot in a bedsheet and pulls it tighter. She looks to the door and stuffs the sheets under her bed.
Here we are, your tea and some of Rye's famous sugar cookies.
Thanks, you're an angel.
Is there anything else I can get for you?
Yeah, there is, actually. I am totally out of cadmium red, and I really need it to finish this new one. Do you think that while you're out, you could go and get me another tube?
Of course. It's no problem whatsoever.
Annie hands Tony the empty tube. He looks at it and leaves. Annie takes a deep breath and exhales. From her window, Annie watches Tony get into the limousine. Annie wraps a sheet around the banister at the top of the stairs and knots it. She pulls on it to make sure it is secure. Then she tests the knot that is fastened to the wheelchair. Sitting at the top of the stairs, she lowers the chair down step by step, allowing a little more rope out with each step. When the chair reaches the bottom, she nods and smiles. Then she grimaces as she works to support her weight on her arms while scooting down the steps on her rear end. She reaches the landing and struggles to move her body to the next run of steps. She uses her hands to straighten her legs. Then she strains to shimmy down the next step. She sits two steps from the bottom of the staircase. She lines her wheelchair up and tries to transfer herself to the chair. She picks up her legs and moves them to the ground. Then she pushes on the armrest of the chair to move her body over. She misses the chair and falls to the ground. She tries again, and with a great deal of effort is able to finally make it into the chair. She lifts her legs and rests her feet in the stirrups. Then she wheels out of the foyer. She enters Tony's office and glances over her shoulder. Dolls sit beside the hearth. She moves quickly toward the phone on his desk. She purses her lips and blinks as she dials.
This is Val.
Oh, Val, thank God. Hi, is Luke Castile there?
No, Luke's in class, I think.
Listen, Val, this is unbelievably important. I need you to get a message to Luke. Can you do that for me?
Oh, Carlos, put that away.
Val, hello?
Yeah, what?
I need you to tell Luke that Annie is in trouble, serious trouble, and he knows where to find me. You got that?
Okay.
You got it?
Uh-huh, Annie's in trouble. I got it.
Well, can you write that down for me? Please.
Annie's fingers twitch, and she notices something beside the phone. She picks it up, her letter to Luke. Her eyes widen. She grabs more from the pile and sorts through them. They are all letters she wrote to Luke, and they are all open. She scoops them up and returns them to the desk. She backs away, then spots something on the floor. She bends over to examine a paper bag filled with art magazines and bottles of strawberry milk. She clenches her jaw and wheels back into the foyer. She stops at the foot of the stairs and glances up. Then she spots Rye standing in the hallway watching her. Her eyes widen. He gestures toward the front door. She nods and smiles. He turns away as she leaves. Outside, Annie wheels her chair along the cobblestone path through the estate's grounds. The downward slope provides some momentum, and she is able to coast a while. Her breath is visible as she rounds a corner. Behind her, Farthingale's gate opens, and the limousine drives through. Annie glances over her shoulder. Her eyes widen. She spots a narrow path between the trees and wheels herself quickly through it. The man she saw behind the tree at the funeral stands before her.
Who are you?
I'm Tony's brother, Troy.
Annie's mouth gapes.
Troy? Well, I must say, you're looking pretty spry for a guy who's been dead all these years.
Annie!
Come on, let's go.
They start off. Tony stands at the front door. Later, Troy pushes Annie through a maze of cedar trees.
So Tony's story about you riding a horse into the ocean was just another lie.
No, that was true. Right up to the part where I died, that is. I tried to end things more than once. I'm ashamed to admit. Fate had other plans, I guess. So now I live here alone in my cottage. On the far side of the maze.
Troy turns a corner, and Annie's mouth falls open.
My God, this is it.
A cottage covered in ivy.
This is my mother's music box.
Yes, it is.
They move toward the front door.
This is my workshop.
A woodworking shop.
I made that music box for your mother with my own hands. In fact, I made all of these toys. I'm still the head designer for the company.
So you knew my mother too?
He parks her chair.
Yes.
He wrings his hands.
I knew your mother very well.
Annie observes his hands, then his face.
Years ago, I found her lost in the maze and I brought her back here. In fact, she's the last guest I've had here. Until today. I'm so glad that after all this time, my first guest here is you.
Annie draws a breath.
My mother never mentioned you.
No, she wouldn't have.
He casts his gaze downward, then glances back at Annie.
Your mother and I were close for a while, but things got complicated, as they always do. And we both agreed it would be best if I remained dead.
Annie looks puzzled.
Define close.
He looks off in the distance and nods.
For a brief moment, your mother brought me back to the world of the living.
Annie watches him carefully. He feels her gaze and turns away.
I really shouldn't say anything more than that.
Why? Why does everything that happened in our families have to be lied about and hidden away?
He steps quickly toward her.
Because.
And crouches to face her.
Certain things are taboo.
He raises his eyebrows.
Can you understand that?
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that.
He nods.
Listen, Troy. Your brother's trying to keep me here against my will. Can I use your phone? I need to call a cab.
He rises to his feet and glances around sheepishly.
I haven't had a phone here since, well, forever.
Well, can you take me into town?
I can't do that. I don't leave Farthingale.
I can't do this on my own, please.
I want to help you, believe me, but I've tried to leave in the past. I can't breathe out there.
Please, Troy, I'm begging you. You're my last hope. If you ever cared about my mother, you know that she'd want you to help me.
His breathing slows. Annie keeps his gaze. Her lip quivers as she holds back tears. He watches her and nods.
Well, then,
He takes a breath.
Well, then I better get you out of here then, Annie.
She sits up and heaves a sigh.
For heaven.
She nods. The sun sets as Troy pushes Annie's chair over brambles.
You're doing great, Troy. Just one step at a time. Hey, just get me down to the road and I'll wave down the car.
Annie!
Oh, God, please, Troy, we're almost there.
Annie!
It's not that much farther.
Oh, I can't breathe.
Troy falls.
Annie.
Tony arrives.
Oh, thank goodness you're okay. I was worried sick.
Tony, get out of my way.
We'll get some dinner, whatever you want.
Tony, Lee is dead. Heaven is dead. You can't bring him back. Just let Annie go.
Troy, you're very sick. Let me get you back to your cottage.
No.
Take her back to the house.
Stop.
You?
Troy, make him let me go.
Tony. No.
Please. No. No.
The butler wheels her away.
She's in the best hands possible. Come on. Come on.
The butler carries Annie to her bed.
No! No! Tony! I'm getting out of here!
The butler leaves.
Tony!
Annie looks frantically around the room.
Tony!
Tony listens at the foot of the stairs. Then he steps into his study and sits at his desk. He puts his glasses on and picks up Annie's letter. A fire flickers in the hearth in Annie's room. She sleeps soundly in bed. She turns her head toward the door. A dark figure enters her room and walks toward the bed.
What's going on? Tony, what do you want?
You can't know how I've missed you, Lee.
Tony, I want you to stop this. I'm not Lee. Lee is dead.
I've never loved anyone but you, Lee.
Tony, you're making a mistake. Tony.
He gets into bed.
Tony.
She struggles.
Get out. Get out.
She pushes him. He hits the floor. She sits up with alarm in her eyes.
I'm sorry.
Get out of here.
Oh, I thought I was.
Get out.
Yes.
He stands.
I mistook you for... Please forgive me.
He walks toward the door and Annie watches him go. She pulls her covers up over her shoulders. The next morning in Farthingale, Annie lies in bed sleeping. She opens her eyes, yawns, and rubs her temples. She squints and looks toward the fireplace, then to her bedside. Her eyes widen. She sits up quickly with a furrowed brow. She glances around all corners of the room, her eyes searching as she grows more frantic.
Tony! Tony!
He listens at his desk.
Give me back my chair!
He sits unmoving. Annie maneuvers off the bed on her belly. First, she puts her palms on the floor, then her forearms. Her legs flop down and she pulls herself along with bent arms. She grimaces with effort as she slides along the floor in her nightdress, her bare calves dragging behind her. In his study, Tony sits with his head bowed. He heaves a sigh. Upstairs, Annie struggles to pull herself to her door. Tony looks down at his desk and leans forward, opening a drawer full of papers. He reaches in and pulls out a pistol. He regards it for a moment, then lifts his gaze, his eyes darting back and forth. He puts his hand on his desk and lifts himself up. He paces slowly toward the door of his study. Annie reaches the door as Tony starts up the staircase.
Tony!
She pounds on the door.
Tony! Bring me back my chair, Tony!
Luke arrives at Farthingale.
I need to speak to Tony.
Get out of here.
What do you mean, get out of here?
You're not welcome here. Get out.
Will you get him for me, please?
No.
Tony!
Tony stops on the landing and turns his head toward the door.
Tony!
Luke!
Annie drags herself toward the window.
Tony
shifts his weight, gun in hand.
Tony!
Tony starts downstairs.
Tony, come here!
He tucks the pistol in his pants while Annie grabs the window ledge.
Luke!
Outside, Luke does not hear her. The butler gestures for him to leave. Annie struggles to sit up.
Work! Work!
She pats her legs and eyes the window. She uses her hands to lift her leg.
Tony! Get this guy to let me past. I need to see my sister.
I'm afraid your sister's not well.
I need to see her.
Annie moves both her legs to a bent position and grabs the windowsill.
Luke! Luke!
Luke stands with Tony and the butler. Annie scans the room.
I'm gonna have to ask you to leave.
Why? Let me see her. I need to know she's all right.
Annie grabs the metal water pitcher from her bedside table and tosses it, breaking her window. Luke runs into the house. The butler chases him.
Annie!
Luke races upstairs.
It's all right. I got it.
Tony moves past the butler.
Annie!
Luke!
Tony pulls out his gun. Luke enters her room.
Annie!
And sees her on the floor. Luke tries to slam the door on Tony, but Tony pushes through. Luke knocks his gun away, punches him, and throws him to the floor.
Son of a bitch!
Tony grabs a shard of glass and swipes Luke, but Luke ducks and knocks it out of his hand.
Wait, no, Luke, stop! He's crazy. Just take me out of here.
Annie, my God, what have they done to you?
Luke goes to her. He lifts her as Tony rolls over and observes his bleeding palm. Luke picks Annie up and carries her out the front door to his car.
Break the door.
Annie opens the door and he lowers her carefully into the passenger seat. Tony stumbles out.
Heaven! Heaven, don't leave me! Don't leave me! You should be here with your father!
Annie glowers at Tony.
Heaven!
Luke and Annie pull away in his car.
Heaven!
Farthingale in the rearview mirror.
Heaven!
Tony's hand drips with blood as he heaves a sigh. Luke's blue 1990s hatchback pulls up to Annie's old house. Luke parks in the roundabout driveway. He opens his door, gets out, and walks around to the passenger side door and lifts Annie out of the car. Fanny rushes out.
Annie.
Luke lifts Annie toward the house. Fanny follows.
I'm so glad you're back.
She kisses her.
Me too.
Come on.
They follow Fanny inside. That evening, Annie looks at her mother's music box. She puts the miniature cottage in her lap and smiles bittersweetly. She lifts the lid. She picks up the figurines of a man and a woman.
Mom.
She gently puts them back inside. Her brow furrows as she notices a paper tucked inside the lid. Annie unfolds the yellowing paper. Her eyes pore over the handwritten note addressed to My Dear Heaven. Her mouth gapes when she sees it is signed, forever and ever, Troy.
Troy?
She shakes her head in disbelief. Then she folds the letter up and places it in the music box, her brow knitted. Annie looks over her shoulder to see Fanny enter.
How are you getting along there, sweetheart? Can I get you something?
Can I talk to you for a minute, Aunt Fanny?
Fanny sits in a chair facing Annie and folds her hands in her lap. Annie exhales sharply.
When I was at Farthingale, I met a man. He lived on the grounds in a cottage by himself. This cottage, actually, it's the same one.
She holds the music box. Fanny eyes it and lifts her chin.
I just found a letter that he wrote to my mother. It said a lot of things, but in it he referred to her as his niece. Now, if that's true, that means that my mother's real father's Tony.
Fanny sits stone-faced.
Could that be true?
Fanny straightens, then gives a resigned sigh.
Heaven never wanted your daddy to know about that. She made me swear to keep it a secret. Your mama and me, we had our differences, but we always kept each other's secrets. So that's something, at least.
Annie blinks and looks down.
So Tony really is her father.
Well, I guess if you figured that out yourself, then there's no reason you shouldn't know the truth.
Annie pulls back slightly and glances away.
That Tony, he pushed himself on your grandmother, Lee.
Annie clenches her jaw and blinks away tears. Fanny deflates as she exhales. Annie considers.
So that means that you and my mother aren't really sisters?
Not by blood, no.
Fanny smiles and reaches for Annie's hand. Annie glances sideways and blinks with a knitted brow. Later on the porch, she stands facing Luke.
Got him?
He supports her.
All right.
As she takes a few steps.
At this rate, you're going to be running marathons in no time. Okay, watch your step here. There you go.
She steps over a threshold. He guides her carefully, and she studies him, smiling.
Luke, what if we weren't brother and sister?
I don't know, Annie. What if the earth was flat?
Do you ever think about me?
Let's take a break.
No, Luke, I love you.
I sure hope so.
Not like a sister, okay? I think you feel the same way.
Annie, this isn't a conversation.
Look me in the eyes and tell me that you're not in love with me.
You're my sister.
That's not an answer.
It's the only one that matters.
Luke, Annie, I just got a call from Drake.
Tony's framed photo sits beside a gravestone. A priest closes his book and tucks it under his arm as he exits. Mourners rise from their seats. Luke turns to Annie.
You owe me for bringing me up here.
The truth is, you're not really here for Tony.
For what then?
She looks at Tony's casket.
Are you here to steal that diary you found?
It's part of it.
Drake approaches.
Annie, can we talk?
I don't have anything to say to you, Drake.
I only wanted to do what I thought was best for you.
She balks.
You can believe whatever you want, but that's the truth.
That's nice, Drake.
Drake watches as Annie leans on her cane and walks laboriously past Tony's photo and casket. She walks deeper into the woods. Luke follows and rests a hand on her back. Then Troy opens his cottage door to Annie and Luke.
I was hoping you'd stop by before you left. Come in.
Annie smiles and enters. Luke gets the door.
I brought you something.
She hands him the letter. He holds it up and reads it. Annie waits with eyes lowered.
I remember this.
She smiles.
It's a love letter to my mother. So I have something that I've been wanting to ask you, Troy. Although I think I might know the answer.
Luke shifts his gaze between Annie and Troy.
You were never supposed to know.
Annie purses her lips.
But I have to admit, I'm glad you finally do.
She grins at him.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but what the hell are we talking about here?
Troy is my father.
What you're saying is... What are you saying, Annie?
You and I aren't actually brother and sister. I've been wanting to tell you, but I had to hear it from Troy first.
Luke looks to Troy.
It's true.
Luke's mouth gapes open. Annie smiles at Luke and leans into him. He looks at her, then glances down, considering. Outside, Annie and Luke walk through the maze near Troy's cottage.
Hey, so you ever gonna kiss me?
Give me a minute, okay? I mean, you're my sister until about 3 seconds ago, so...
I wasn't your sister 3 seconds ago. I wasn't ever your sister.
She lifts her eyebrows and smiles at him. He nods.
Well, I guess I can kiss you then.
You can kiss me. You can marry me. You can do anything you want to me.
She grins and he takes her face in his hands. They close their eyes and his parted lips meet hers. He strokes her cheek with his thumb. She brings a hand to his shoulder as he moves his hand under her hair toward the nape of her neck. They stay locked in their embrace, surrounded by rows of green cedars that stretch out in a maze pattern around them. Final credits. Tony, Jason Priestley. Annie, Lizzie Boys. Heaven, Johanna Newmarch. Troy, Jason Cermak. Fanny, Pauline Egan. Logan, Michael Carl Richards. Drake, Ben Sullivan. Luke, Keenan Tracy. Nurse Broadfield, Daphne Zuniga. Dr. Malasoff, Dean Marshall. Millie, Sarah Corrigan. Rye, Everett Golding. Chauffeur, Jordan Ninkovich. Production Manager, Michael Magnuson. First Assistant Director, Patrick Weir. Second Assistant Director, Sarah Rogers. Associate Producers, Annie Story and Marley Reed. Copyright 2019 GOP Productions, ULC. All rights reserved. Really Real Films. Neshama Entertainment. This has been a presentation of Lifetime.